Our lesson this morning is in Psalm 119, verses 81 to 88, section Cough. Handling prolonged, exhausting trials by living within protective biblical parameters. Psalm 119 is about the profitable use of God's written word, the scriptures, with the psalm being formed as an acrostic, where each section has a Hebrew letter that begins each of the eight verses in its respective section. Section Cough in Psalm 119, verses 81 to 88, explains how the believer is to respond constructively to prolonged, exhausting trials. And we view this section for our insight and our edification. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer, and we'll get into His Word. Father, we thank You for the truth of Your Word. We thank You for the fact that the Word of God is God-breathed, it is God-inspired. It's backed up by God and His attributes. And we can rely on it as truly as we can rely upon the existence of creation itself, which is upheld by the word of Your power. We ask that as we get into the truth of the word this morning, that we would understand it under the Spirit's guidance and leading, and then apply it in His power. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, we read the section in the King James English, and then we'll look at it from the Hebrew. Section Cough, beginning at verse 81. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. They had almost consumed me upon the earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Quicken me after thy loyal love, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. Okay, the verse numbering system in the Hebrew text matches that of the English Bible, so we're staying, of course, with the English Bible's numbering system for this lesson. And we translate Psalm 119, verses 81 to 88 as follows. My life principle, that's the word nephesh, it means physical, emotional, mental life, is exhaust, spiritual life. My life principle is exhausted upon longing for your salvation, but I hope in your word. Keep in mind that the word salvation, as it is used in Scripture, does not refer to what most evangelicals refer. When evangelicals talk about salvation, they think about being justified by faith in Christ. They think about being saved from their souls, saved from hell to heaven. The word salvation, as it's used in Scripture, means generally rescue. And like we use the word rescue, it can rescue you from hell, that's sure, but you can rescue you from being hit by a Mack truck on the road, or rescue your life from the grave as the doctor performs emergency surgery or something. It's just basically the word rescue. So he's longing for God's deliverance, his rescue of some sort. But I hope in your word. My eyes are exhausted looking for your promise. I say, at what time will you comfort me? When I've become like a shriveled, blackened, and hence useless wineskin in the smoke. Notice here how the Hebrew helps us out immensely. If you're looking at the English, it says you're like a bottle in the smoke. You say, what's a bottle in the smoke? What's the big deal? A wineskin, that's what they would use for their containment of their wines. And they would put them in fresh wineskins. You put a wineskin in the smoke, it begins to shrivel up and become stiff. And it becomes useless because once it gets stiff and you start to use it, then it cracks. And when it cracks, it leaks. You've got to throw it away. So a blackened wine, or a wine skin in the smoke, is something that has been exposed to smoke, and it's harmful and it's useless. But I do not forget your decrees. How many are the days of your servant? At what time will you perform verdicts of judgment with those who persecute me? The arrogant dig pitfalls for me which are not in accord with your law. All of your commands are reliable, but with falsehood they persecute me. Help me. They've almost consumed me in the earth, but I myself, this is an emphatic pronoun written in front of the verb, I myself have not forsaken your precepts. According to your loyal love, give me life, and I will keep the statutes of your mouth. Okay, we consider significant observations regarding this psalm. The psalmist described his dilemma of being exhausted by a prolonged persecution by evil foes. He was exhausted, though he still retained hope in God's word, verse 81. Even his hope was waning as he wondered when God would comfort him. And then, though feeling exhausted by the prolonged trial, as if he were shriveled and hence useless wineskin in the smoke, the psalmist still trusted in God's word. In this position of great need, the psalmist cried out for God's help. Now, God's way of handling this situation was for the psalmist to function within protective biblical parameters. That's the heart of the message today. Function within protective biblical parameters as described in verses 85 and 86 as follows. A, unlike his proud foes, the psalmist was biblically humble. Notice in verse 85a, which would be the number 5, the arrogant dig pitfalls for me which are not in accordance with your law. The implication is that the psalmist himself is not arrogant, he's humble. And that's very, very important. Pride goes before a fall. Pride comes before a destruction, according to Scripture. Humility is something that God always delights in. It's interesting, when the Son of God came to this earth, he grew up in humble circumstances in despised Nazareth. Okay, when he rode into Jerusalem, he rode in on a donkey, not a horse. A conqueror would come in on a big white horse. He came in on a donkey. A donkey was an animal of peace. So he was presenting himself as peace. The Apostle Paul commands us, do not associate with people of high estate, but condescend to minister and to associate with people of low estate. Humility is very important. And then B, unlike his proud foes who lived independently of Scripture, the psalmist lived in submission to Scripture. Number 5, the arrogant dig pitfalls for me which are not according to your law. But notice the last part of verse 1, I hope in your word. And then number 3, verse 83, the last part of that, I do not forget your decrees. The psalmist was completely and consistently dependent upon what God's word actually said. And this is so important. Working within the confines of Scripture. Let's say Scripture allows you to move from this hand to this hand, okay? If you operate out here, you're vulnerable for tremendous spiritual defeat because Satan can crush you. If you're working within the confines of what God's word has said, you're between these two hands, figuratively speaking, you come under the protection of God because God's word promises he's got to provide for you. As you grow in the Lord, this is something I've noticed in the lives of many Christians. As you grow in the Lord, they stop jumping outside of the hands out here and they start popping inside because it's protected. Staying within the realms. Pitchers in the National Baseball League, they call it pitching within yourself. A pitcher never goes out and throws 100% of his ability. If he does, he'll burn his arm out within about a third of an inning because he might be able to throw the ball 100 miles an hour when he starts, but he'll wear his arm out. So if that's the case, if he's the kind of pitcher that can't pitch 100 miles an hour, his fastball is like 91 miles an hour. His changeup is 78. So there's a tremendous contrast between his fastball and 70. So he's not burning himself out, but he's wisely pitching within himself. He's keeping it within so he can go 9 innings or 5 innings or whatever the manager wants him to go. The same is true in the Christian life. We've got to operate within the confines of God's will. Many times we believers take upon ourselves responsibilities that are outside of God's will, and then we get burned. And we wonder why? Because I meant well. Meaning well doesn't feed the bulldog, so to speak. What we need to do is to operate within the confine. What did God actually tell us to do? And his burden, his yoke is not heavy, and his burden is not overwhelming, it's light. So we need to work within the parameters of Scripture. Now, unlike his unbiblically proud foes who lived independently of Scripture and persecuted him with falsehood, the psalmist had biblical just cause for his actions. that's so important. If we're dealing with people who oppose us, we need to make sure that the cause that we have is biblically based. If it's not biblically based, we're on our own, and then we can get crushed. Make sure, and what this does, that this causes us to think about that which is biblical before we act, so that when we act, we know that we're under the cover of God. So it's very, very important. Make sure that we have biblical just cause for our actions. When I was being ordained, I was examined by seven pastors. These were seven Baptist pastors at the time. And they all recognized that the spiritual gift that I had was specifically in the area of biblical knowledge. They said, that's what it is. Our recommendation is that you stay there. Don't try to go off and do what some other pastor is doing just because he's doing it. You stay within the focus of what God's given you and you'll do fine. And boy, have they been right. And this is where it's, you got seven ordained pastors and conservatives and so forth, and they're all saying the same thing. You better listen to them. Very interesting, especially when they're biblically based. So we need to have biblical just cause for our actions. And then based upon such facts, D, the psalmist confidently called unto God for help. Now the solution to this trial is realized and described in verses 87 to 88 as follows. This would be under numbers 7 and 8 listed above. Regardless of the draining effects of the prolonged trial, the psalmist still did not forsake God's word, for unlike his foes, he was humble, he lived in submission to Scripture, and he had biblical just cause for his every action. So in accord with these facts, the psalmist still hoped in God's loyal love to fulfill his promised deliverance to preserve him, and he still kept heeding God's word in the trial. In other words, the bullish tendency to retain a faithful posture, even though we're under intense pressure, is a conscience that is absolutely clear, because we know we're operating within the will of God. We know that we have just cause for every stand that we take. And so we're covered. We're covered by the Lord. On the other hand, if we've worked outside of the corrective parameters that God has for us, and we're kind of on our own, then we have a twinge in our conscience as to whether we're doing that which is really right or not. We're not going to last long in the trial. We're going to get crushed. So we've got to stay within that. Incidentally, this is one reason I believe sometimes why God allows prolonged trials. He uses them, even if at the hands of wicked people, he uses them to train us to start staying, not just occasionally obey Scripture, but start staying within the confines of Scripture and not working it. When I was a teenager, I'll never forget my father. We'd work on the ranch where we worked, and we had a haying operation, 700 acres. And my responsibility was the swathing, cutting the hay down. My other brother, one of them ran, he had to get up in the middle of the night to run the baler, because that's when the temperature, humidity was just right. And then the other brother ran the harrow bed, where he picked up the bales and stacked them by the side of the road. But I'll never forget, Dad would get on my case. He said, Don, it's very important that you cut the hay right, because if you don't cut enough of it, we don't make a profit. So you got to cut it correctly. But I don't want you to run pheasants down or rabbits and run them through the conditioner, because that's tough in the bearings, blow the bearings, and then the farmers don't like having dead animals in their hay. You know, the cows are very picky. They don't eat hay that has that. They want to, milk cows are very, very picky. You can feed it to a bull, he didn't care, but cows luck out. So I'd have to really control it, but I had to work within the parameters that Dad had. And he said, we need you to cut this hay because we've got army moths in here, and before their worms hatch, otherwise we're going to lose the crop, so you got to keep moving along. No breaks today. You got to move, right? It's a 12-hour day, but that's all right. You're sitting on the tractor, so just move it along. But Dad would say, now you can do this, but work within the parameters. When it's time for lunch, I'll come and get you and so forth, but when you come out there, I want you just to move. I don't want you to go too fast. I want you to cut the hay properly, but don't stop and loiter. Don't take breaks. Just keep going. So that's the way God leads us. He uses trials in order to teach us to stay consistently within the confines of his word. So the lesson is, when the psalmist was humanly exhausted in a prolonged trial from persecuting foes, he still clung to his faith in God's word as he functioned within God's protective biblical parameters. He retained a biblical humble viewpoint, he submitted to scripture versus acting independently of it, and he had biblical just cause for every action. Armed with such protective biblical parameters and conduct, his faith stayed strong in his draining prolonged trial. So if facing a prolonged, humanly exhausting trial of persecution by godless foes, and I've heard from a lot of believers who face this, we must resist the temptation either to quit doing God's assignment so as to avoid the trial, or to attack the foe in carnality to end the persecution pain, by functioning within protective biblical parameters to retain God's edifying blessing. If God lets us face a prolonged persecution trial, he tends to train us to keep on being focused on functioning within his protective biblical parameters for blessing. In time, he will deal with our foes. Many times, God will deal with our foes only when we learn our lesson. He wants us to stay consistent. And once we learn that consistency and we forget about the foe, then he'll deal with the foe. But he wants us to learn the lesson. Before I turn it over to you, I had prepared this lesson, the first draft on Wednesday. I think I had some time on Wednesday. On Thursday, it was a very confidential situation, but two believers whom I've known for decades happened to run across each other in one of the stores in Torrington. And they had a conversation. It was a pleasant conversation and everything, but the contents of the conversation and the circumstances surrounding these believers had tremendous application to this lesson. And when one of these believers shared it with me later, what had happened in the conversation that they'd had, all I could think of was this lesson. And it shows me the importance of what we're doing. God will stop at no ends of allowing suffering. He will stop at no ends of allowing trials and so forth, providing we can understand his word. This is how important his word is, and understanding his word is in his view, for us to understand his word. And so I'm sharing this with you this morning just to indicate that I'm absolutely convinced that this happens to be the lesson that God has for us today because of what happened. And many times the Lord's done this. He'll allow experience to occur during the week that dovetails in beautifully with what we're getting ready to cover as a class, or sometimes in the morning or evening message, or even prayer meeting and so forth. But I'm absolutely convinced this is needed. There are believers who have faced trials, and I know believers within our church who still face trials. Sometimes these trials have gone on for many years. In a few cases, maybe several decades. But the reason for it, why the Lord allows it, is he's trying to teach us to be faithfully submissive to Scripture. It's not enough just to obey Scripture once in a while. That doesn't cut it with God. It has to be consistent. Consistent righteousness is what he's looking for. And consistently staying within his biblical parameters is very, very important. Not overextending ourselves, not taking things upon ourselves that God hasn't equipped us to take upon ourselves, and thereby getting burned because the evil one crushes us when we're stepping outside of the parameters, of staying within the calling that he's given us. And in other words, like the pitcher, pitching within yourself. Stay with the gift that God's given you. Stay with the assignment that God's given you. Don't overextend it, and you'll do just fine. But you got to stay there. That's the key. Stay there. Okay, we'll open it up for questions or feedback that you have. It could be on the lesson itself. Doesn't have to be. If there's something else that has come up, please feel free to address it.